This is a podcast from Rover.
Welcome into part two of Rex Rural Exchange, the Saturday edition. Of course, the podcast also heard on Today FM. You can listen back anytime to the Farming and Rural Show that brings together all corners of the country and bridges the urban-rural divide. And not forgetting the sometimes prevalent rural-rural divide. All this thanks to Carter's Tyres, the agricultural tyre specialists. Okay, let's get into it. It's been a big week in horticulture, from dealing with the unrelenting deluge of rain to the launch of a new plan with the target to double the value of horticultural production to $12 billion. I want to get this right. To $12 billion by 2035. And 2035 will roll around quick enough, believe me. I'll be planning my 70th, Beck, so you might get an invite. Anyway, we might still be doing... Oh, no, I'm gonna have an asthma attack and a laughing attack. If we're still doing the show when I'm 69, there's got to be an issue somewhere. Anyway, the new horticulture, Growing Together 2035, Aotearoa Horticultural Action Plan Strategy, sets out the pathway to achieve what it calls the ambitious but achievable goal, with horticulture exports already expected to top a record $7.1 billion this year. Horticulture NZ CEO Nadine Tunley joins us now to tell us more. Morning, Nadine. Welcome into the show.
Morning, Hamish. Hi, Rebecca.
Yeah. Hi. Great to have you here with us. Geez, she's been a tough old go for growers in many areas, especially Pukekohe, eh? That's there.
Yes, no, it's been reasonably unrelenting for the good last month. Both, you know, Gisborne's had a couple of events, and then the deluge, as you said, in Pukekohe. So we're definitely under pressure for production of vegetables, without a doubt.
Yeah, but before we talk about this very heady and ambitious, but I like it, plan, will we see a spike in fruit and veggie prices given these what we've had in the last few months?
It'll be more a supply issue, to be honest, Hamish, you know, and that's what always drives price, right? When supply is short and demand is high, that does push prices up, unfortunately, but that is not always driven by growers as well. You know, they produce products, they get it to the supermarkets because that's their core focus, and then there's a lot that happens in between that through the supply chain, and as everybody knows, inflationary pressures have been unrelenting.
Yeah, they have been. Okay, the Aotearoa Horticulture Action Plan was launched this week in Tairawhiti, Gisborne. Tell us about that.
So it has been a work in progress now for just over 2 years. I haven't been in my role that long, but I caught the hospital pass on the way through the door. it is a quadruple helix, is how it's referred to, which is a plan that has been brought together between Māori industry, government and science. So that's why it's taken such a long time to get to where it is. But ultimately, from Horticulture New Zealand's perspective and our growers, for us it gives us a really clear roadmap and something to measure and monitor ourselves against, around things like, you know, growing sustainably, optimising value, increasing Māori participation in horticulture, while we nurture people and everything, hopefully and ideally, will be underpinned by science and knowledge.
Because, Nadine, the horticulture exports this year are expected to top, they're going to be a record expected $7.1 billion, and this plan is looking to grow the value of New Zealand's horticultural production to $12 billion by 2035. That is a pretty big goal. Are you able to talk to us a little bit about some of the ways that, the steps in the action plan that will be helping us to get to this goal?
Yeah, so the science component is obviously quite a big area. Again, depending what policy and where government sets certain settings, there are some opportunities in there for the Tier 2 crops, or what's referred to as Tier 2, to have further plant sort of breeding and development occur, which will help them. So if you look at the growth trajectory of kiwi fruit and apples over the last 5 to 7 years, it's been reasonably substantial, and a lot of that has been off the basis of good plant breeding. you know, kiwi fruit not that long ago had a very intensive PSA issue, and they managed to get through that because they had some tools in the toolbox around their plant breeding situation. So other horticultural crops haven't had the time and focus in that breeding space because it is quite expensive. So this plan does lean into that quite a bit.
Okay. I know that the skills shortage or labour shortage has been quite an issue for many parts of the primary sector and definitely in horticulture. Will that impact your ability to get to this goal, do you think?
We're doing okay this season. So our summer fruit crop is obviously the first crop that comes off pre-Christmas and over Christmas, particularly with the cherries and then into apricots. They've been reporting a very good backpacker return. So we are have had a great run, touch wood, in Central Otago, where we've actually had more people on waiting lists for the first time since COVID. So that's been really positive. Yeah. And we are seeing some fairly good signs in other regions at the moment as well, similar with good backpacker return. We have had a couple of challenges with the RSC, as you all know, but we are working very closely as industry with the Pacific and hoping to work through together how it works best for everybody.
Well, that's encouraging to hear, Hamish.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, I think that a waiting list for, you know, because that was just post-COVID, the staffing thing was just appalling, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, good to see that we are winning that battle slowly. Look, what are we looking at in terms of, you know, our resilience to our food systems and in the face of these changing weather conditions?
Yeah, well, that's that's the tension that exists in this. So, again, because the document is a coming together of four different areas of the process, and government have their place with wanting the $12 billion, and that's fine. For us, it's more about our grower viability. If we can't have viable businesses, regardless of what the upper figure is of $12 billion, you know, it won't help our cause if it costs us $13 billion to produce it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Our focus is absolutely on making sure that we're producing nutritious, healthy food, first and foremost for New Zealand, the Pacific, and then the rest of the world. And in doing that, doing it in a sustainable way. And as you said, Hamish, we're having to look at our growing systems. Weather events like this certainly, you know, put to the front of mind for everybody that climate change is happening. They look to the sectors that they believe are contributing to that impact, and they look to us to solve that. So that is why this plan has been so critical. We will take our place in making sure that we work through those things and that we look at those growing systems so we can keep producing food for New Zealand.
Fantastic. We had a guest on the show earlier, Nadine, Dr. Catherine Knight, who was talking about this idea of bioregionalism, the idea of growing food in the place that it is best suited, like in terms of soil contour, climate, that sort of thing, rather than growing what might fetch the best price, and just talking about where our best food producing land is. What do you make of something like a bioregionalism approach?
Good question, Rebecca. I've always been a true believer in that exact concept. In terms of the more you grow something somewhere that it doesn't naturally grow well, it means you have to put more input into it. So therefore, your ability to be sustainable and fulfilling all the environmental requirements that we strive to achieve becomes that much harder. So exactly that. As rainfall starts to move into different regions at higher levels, we will naturally look where we can grow vegetables better. We are going to have to look at more covered crop scenarios, and that doesn't necessarily mean entirely enclosed in glasshouses. There are other systems that are being tested. But often, if you are in an enclosed environment, you need energy. So we will be looking to where we can get naturally occurring energy in some places and some situations. So all of these systems is what is in this plan, and this is what we are looking to investigate, understand better, and then also make sure that if any of these initiatives do prove to be worthy, they have to be affordable. Again, these infrastructures are reasonably significant investments for farmers.
Nadine, thank you very much for your time. Horticulture NZ CEO. We will follow this closely. I don't know whether I'll be there for the sort of the 2035. Well, hopefully I'll still be around, but maybe not in this role. But yeah, we'll keep close eye on the progress of that. That is Nadine Tunley there, Horticulture NZ CEO.